Oh, thank you. Leslie Howard. Welcome back, Lily Kimura.
Here.
Lily here. Mark Van Landuit.
Present.
Mark is here. Zach Caldvere.
Here.
Zach is here. Philip Maldari.
Here.
Philip is here. Tom Voorhees.
Here.
We'll come back. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Sharon's here. Okay, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to actually, because the recording didn't get the names, I'm going to go back and say Donna Carter is here, and now Aki Tanaka, are you here? Okay, Andrea Turner was here, Brian Crowell was here, Carol Wolfley was here, Catherine Tuktokin here, Chris Corey was here, Christina Huggins was here, Christine Pepin, are you here? Daniel Borgstrom was here, Darlene Pagano was here, Donald Goldmacher, are you here? Frank Sterling, are you here? Fred Dodsworth, are you here? Elizabeth Milos is here, James McFadden is here, Richard Walensky is here, Leslie Howard, are you here? Lily Kimura is here, Mark Van Landuit is here, Zach Caldevere is here, Philip Muldari is here, Tom Voorhees, are you here? Sharon Adams is here, and Maria Negrete, are you here? I see you shaking your head. Yeah, on the audio. Okay.
Okay. Sorry, I thought I was muted. Yes, I'm
and
here.
Of course, our meeting administrator is here, EA. So I move to approve the absences of Aki, of all those who are not here.
To excuse them.
To excuse them.
Yeah. Yeah, to excuse them.
Without objection.
Without objection, they're excused.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
go ahead. I believe Franklin just joined up. Is it?
Yeah, I admitted him.
Okay, thank you.
That's a quorum, right?
Okay. Yeah, we have quorum, so we've had quorum for a while. That's why we started.
You should announce
it. Yes, Frank has been admitted, and Fred Dodsworth has been admitted.
Their voices, their ears on the recording.
Fred, are you here? Fred, unmute, please. And Frank, are you here?
Yes, Franklin's here. Sorry, I was late.
Franklin's here, and Fred, are you here?
I'm here. Can you not hear me?
I can now. Thank you. All right.
Okay, Carol, Leslie is contacting me trying to get on. She says she can't right now. I'm just trying to
thank you.
Help her.
Oh, thank you. She's not, she doesn't have the link, Zach.
She wanted me to, she wanted me to text her the link, but she's saying it's not working for her. I'm not sure how that'll be different, but I'm going
to
try.
Probably the dot one at the end of it, which when I first tried to get on, I forgot, didn't get it.
Okay.
Oh, the dot.
I'll send it to her too.
Oh, thank you. All right. I think we're set. As soon as Leslie comes on, I'm gonna mark Fred here.
I'd like to be recognized.
Well, we're not on anything.
It's not in order.
It's not in order at this time. We're gonna wait till we get Leslie on, and then the next order is on our is to approve the agenda.
That's exactly what I wanted to be recognized about.
I move to get there. We can recognize you when we get to that. We're not there yet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I move to approve the agenda.
I move to make a friendly amendment. Friendly amendment.
Okay, what is your friendly amendment?
I'd like to make a very quick announcement of an open event that's open to all candidates. It's going to be on organized.
That's not an amendment to the agenda. That's an announcement.
Oh, okay. So can we make space in the agenda for a short announcement?
Not now. We're on the agenda right now. You're out of order.
Okay.
You certainly can make an announcement, Elizabeth, but it's just not in order at this time.
Okay, that's
great. You'll have an opportunity, okay?
I also have the other friendly amendment to the agenda, which would be during the presentation of the budget, if we can have certain time for question and answers, because I want to make sure we have enough time for all of the LSB members to ask the appropriate questions that we need to. Sometimes we run out of time, and it would be good if we could have at least half hour given to the LSB members to be able to ask questions.
What is your motion? That's a description of what you want. What's your motion?
My motion is to make sure that if we can have a time certain availability for question and answer, specifically for question and answer, during the budget review section.
After, you want to take it out of the 60 or leave the 60?
You want to take out of the 60 minutes or you want to leave the 60 minutes?
I would like to take it out of the actual 60 minutes so that we have the presentation from the business manager as well as the time available for LSB members to ask questions.
40 for the presentation.
Okay, so 40 for the presentation and 20 for the
Q&A.
I was asking for at least 30 minutes, please.
Up to you.
Well, questions before the presentation is?
No, questions after.
No, there's discussion. There's an amendment on the floor. And first of all, the friendly amendment has not yet been seconded. Do I have a second for the friendly amendment?
I'll second.
Thank you. Discussion now.
This amendment cuts our time for going over the budget.
How much?
Right, that's my concern as well. So how much time will the presentation for the budget presentation, if I could ask Maria, how much time do you have?
Don't worry about it. We could get it all in about 1 hour.
Can you do it in half an hour? She's suggesting an hour.
Okay.
Then we'll make it 30 minutes for the presentation and then 30 minutes for the questions. If it's a friendly amendment.
Is there any objection?
Is there any objection to the friendly amendment?
I object.
Okay, we have to.
Okay, then we have to vote on it.
Takes majority.
I would like to speak to it.
Go ahead. We're in discussion still. Go ahead, Carol.
I think it would be helpful. I'm fully trusting that there will be some time for questions but I think to tie things down in this way is going to actually limit our capacity to explore the budget. So we don't know exactly how long Maria's going to take. I think what we can say is that I just think we should move on, vote against this amendment, and have a time for presentation and questions.
Leave it loose.
Okay.
Could I speak to that, please? Because you already
vote.
Yeah. The history that we've had so far in my time on the LSB is that there never seems to be enough time to be able to ask enough questions regarding the budget. We got the budget just the day before, yesterday, last night, actually. So there really was a very short period of time to even look at it. I understand that there was a meeting on the 18th and the 20th. I was out of town. I was in Chile, by the way. So yes, I do have a couple of questions and I would like there to be enough time because that is what our role is, to be able to ask the appropriate questions. Maria already has stated that she can do it in half an hour. So there's no reason for there not to be allowed a half an hour for the LSB members, all of the LSB members, to be able to ask the appropriate questions, and have enough time for that.
Okay. Well, I would just, for the record, I want to state something, that there is a fiction out there that nobody gets the budget until the night before. And I want to state to the public and make it clear that Maria had two budget workshops last week that any LSB member could attend to ask questions and understand exactly what the budget is based on. So we didn't just get it the night before. There were two possible meetings, one at 3 o'clock, and the second day was a meeting at 6 o'clock for people who needed those times. So this is not the first week that I attended one of those workshops, and it was very productive. So Fred, you're next.
Calling time on this item. I
just called Fred first, so
that's true. I just simply wanted to note that this is typical of why we constantly run over time, and that citizens aren't allowed to be spoken to or have their questions addressed because we spend so much time arguing about these little things. And if Maria can do it in half an hour, why do we need to go to a vote on this thing? Let her do it in half an hour, and then we'll have half an hour for her to to have questions. And if she can't do it in half an hour, then that's how it is.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, we're going to vote on this now because we're over time on the time for the agenda. So you want to, this is an amendment. It's not actually a friendly amendment. It's an amendment. So just to clarify.
To take out the
30 minutes, and clarify 30 minutes for the presentation, 30 for questions. So we'll now take the vote.
Carol, please write the amendment in the chat. Okay. So this is voting on the amendment.
Strike out 60 minutes and insert 30 minutes for presentation, 30 right. minutes for Q&A. Why don't you dictate that?
Strike out 60 minutes and put 30 minutes for presentation and 30 for Q&A.
Thank you. Okay. Donna Carter.
Welcome.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to speak right now. Thank you.
Are you voting?
We are.
Yes. Oh, yes. I vote in favor. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, Aki Tanaka.
Aki, are you there?
Okay, Andrea Turner. How do you vote, Andrea?
No, I'm against it.
Andrea, no. Brian Crowell.
No.
Brian, no. Carol Wolfley, no. Catherine Tuktokin?
Yes.
Catherine, yes. Chris Corey?
Yes.
Chris, yes. Christina Huggins?
No.
Christina, no. Daniel Bergstrom?
Yes, in favor.
Daniel, yes. Darlene Pagano?
Abstain.
Darlene abstain. Daniel, Donald Goldmacher is not here. Frank Sterling?
Yes, I'd vote yes.
Frank, yes. Fred Dodsworth?
I'm going to abstain till the end.
You're abstaining till the end or you're passing?
I guess you would call that passing.
Elizabeth Milos.
Yes.
Elizabeth, yes. James McFadden.
Yes.
James, yes. Richard Walensky.
No.
Richard, no. Leslie Howard.
No.
Leslie, no. Lily Kimura.
No.
Lily, no. Mark Van Landuit.
No.
Mark Van Landuit, no. Zach Kalfier.
No.
Zach, no. Philip Muldari.
No.
Philip, no. Sharon Adams.
Yes.
Sharon, yes. Fred Dodsworth.
Abstain.
Okay. EA, did you track those?
No, sorry. I didn't realize that's what I should be doing.
Okay. That's okay. Aki, did you want to vote?
Just abstain.
Okay. Yeah, I have, I did track and I have 6 yes and 10 no's and 4 abstentions.
I have 8 yes.
Yeah, make it 8. I have 8.
Oh, 8. I must have missed something.
Okay. And then
announce that it was
8 yes, 10 no. Do you have that, Carol?
Yes, 10 no.
And 4 abstentions?
Okay.
So the motion does not pass. Now we're voting on the main agenda. Those who vote to approve the main agenda, if there are any objections to the main agenda, would you please raise your hand?
Without objection, the agenda is
approved. I have an objection to the main agenda.
Just raise your hand.
Okay. There's not enough time to do that sometimes, that's why.
Objection is heard, we have to vote.
May I be recognized?
Objection is heard, we have to vote.
We're voting now.
So, everybody's hand down, please. All those in favor of approving the agenda, raise your hand, please. And EA, if you could help me track this, please.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm raising my hand. It's not working for me right now. This is Zach.
Hey, Zach. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to get it to work, and this is Richard, and I'm having trouble. I'm on an iPad this time.
Your hand's up now, Richard.
It is?
Yes.
Okay, I can't see it. It's iPad.
Andrea, your hand was up, but you did what I did, which is start clapping for your hand up. I don't know what you want to do now.
So I'm showing 16 in favor.
17. Oh,
17, including Zach.
17, including Zach, who's having trouble raising his hand. Okay.
What's how many now?
17 in favor. Please put your hands down.
Fuck. How do I do this?
Be careful, Richard, you're on.
And Zach, your hand's up now. And so is Carol.
One of the 7 dirty words.
Oh, sorry. I got to lower my hand. Sorry.
Zach's up. Carol's up. Franklin's up. Darlene's
up. Mark's hand is up.
Mark's is up.
Mark, lower your hand.
Okay. They're all lowered now. As I see, except for Andrea.
Andrea's hand is up.
Andrea.
Could you put your hand? Thank you. Great. Okay. Now those opposed to approving the agenda, please put your hands up.
I see no hands.
Okay.
17 affirmative. I don't see anyone negative.
I abstain.
Oh.
Zero.
Abstain. Yeah, that doesn't really count.
No.
So the agenda is passed. So we will go now to the review and possible approval of the KPFA 23-24 budget.
Call on the person.
So Maria?
Hello. Okay.
Hello, Maria.
I'm tired. This is like my 15th or 16th budget for KPFA. And let me just start with, I always start with this. A budget is a plan. It is not set in stone. Things happen. Think of your own personal situations. Those of you who are lucky enough to have a lot of money in the bank, woohoo! Those of us who do not, well, yeah, kind of just roll with the punches. And that's what KPFA has done because a budget, again, is a plan. And when Pacifica asks for a lot of money or money is taken because of Pacifica, that blows the budget. It blows the plan. So you just roll with the punches. And that is what we had to do back in December when we had to urgently try to adjust our expenses because of the $300,000 to be taken out. I thought I had the budget up and I don't. Let me bring up the exact same thing that I sent Carol. EA, I'm going to share. You need to give me permission. Thank you. Okay, so the first thing that I want to talk about is our fund drives. Our fund drives have been dwindling. KPFA has had always had the luck of reaching our goals, but lately we have not. I hope you could see this better. And again, those of you who have seen this budget over and over, you know, but for anybody who doesn't or this is your first time or doesn't remember, I don't budget based on wishes and prayers and pies in the sky or anything. I budget solely on what we have achieved in the past, especially in the light of the fund drives going downhill, unfortunately. There's a lot of things to be said about why that's happening. Pacifica, my personal opinion, I'm not an economist, I'm not, you know, an MBA or anything like that, but personal opinion is that we have, unfortunately, a lot of donors who don't want to give to debt. They want to give to something that is going to enrich the organization, not pay debt. So that's my personal opinion. Our last spring fund drive, our goal was 475. We came in at 375.5. So that's what I anticipate, you know, my goal is for May of 2024. Again, I just do it dollar for dollar, and we hope that we're going to get as much as we did in the previous year. It then again just goes down. We had budgeted 250 for July, came in at 208, and this line or column here is what goes into the budget for the future. So this is 23, and then we come down into 2024. This is 24, as you all know, because that's kind of part of what we're all about, is an election year. So I'm anticipating that the, give me just a moment. Let me look at something else here.
While Maria is doing that, because I'm sort of co-presenting with Maria as the treasurer, and just break in when you're ready, Maria.
But, sure, sure.
I just wanted to comment that I have actually heard directly from listeners that they have stopped giving because of they don't want to pay into debt, and they want to pay to support KPFA, but they're not really interested in having their money being used for other things. So not just Maria's opinion, I just wanted to say that is something that is actually occurring in our fund drive and KPFA's fund drive efforts.
Yeah, it's and we get people, irate people, you know, saying, we got a note yesterday, just yesterday, of course I won't share any of the details in terms of people, but they actually want to give their money to a programmer because they don't want to give it to KPFA in fear that that money is going to go to Pacifica. Of course, that's not going to happen. That can't happen. The people amongst themselves could do whatever they want, but legally that's not okay. So, but that's to the extent of what's happening is what I guess my point is. I switched over to the one that, that I work on so that way I can make some changes, or not changes, but just adjust my view. So,
I met Joe Slovo, who was head of the Revolutionary Committee. Can you imagine? He was the top gorilla.
I'm sorry?
Steve, you're, people need to mute themselves.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I kind of lost my train of thought there. I base everything that we for the future based on the past. It's a sad situation that we are, you know, lowering, our goals have to be lowered because of not fulfilling that goal. The one really good news that I have, and can you guys see this other one? It's not the budget. Can you see this? Okay. These are the actual, comes right off of our database. These are the fall dry. Well, this is as of a couple of days ago. So please, don't freak out because I didn't update this for this meeting. But, for this budget, I had to go not on 2023 fall because we're in the middle of that drive right now, but I went to fall of 2022. So, don't pay attention to fall right here. But again, you know, we have not made our goals. The past couple of years is the first time that I've seen this happen with KPFA. We always met our goals, even exceeded our goals. I remember one year I was furious with our people because, we met our goal like on Tuesday or Wednesday, and they stopped the fund drive. And I was like, what? No, you keep going until until the end, you make as much money as you can. The one really good news is that we have pushed people to the website, and we have pushed to, pay through, credit cards, which of course gives you, the credit card fee, which is minimal compared to the fact that we are exceeding and achieving our fulfillments. Our fulfillments meaning that, so this is what was pledged. That is what was pledged. This is what was pledged over the goal. So of course, a lot of them are much lower. And this is how much was paid. So you see this number here of 87%, 99%, 95%. That means of the people who pledged, that's how much money, how the percentage of money we actually got in. And that's huge. We used to be actually like at around 89%. So that number is going up, and that number goes up with every payment. So it could be that somebody is still needing to pay, and we get people buying their bill, or like, oh yeah, I forgot, or whatever, and we get money coming in later. That is what the deal is with this. And then we do too, as I'm sure all of you know, what we call the post drive. Oops. The post drive meaning that after the drive is over, we continue to push a little bit on air and so on. It hasn't been tremendously successful, but hey, we get some money, so that I'm not going to say no to that. From there, you go into this spreadsheet. I go into this spreadsheet, and this is how it comes in. So, for example, in July, let's see this. In July, we get the majority of the money on that, during that month, and then it dwindles down smaller and smaller. I only go up to, 5 months into the year, because we've been getting most of our stuff in, you know, right away. We used to have to wait more like a year because we used to do a lot of bill me, which we don't do anymore. We used to do installments. We don't do that anymore. However, what we do is sustainers. We again have been pushing for sustainers, which has been pretty successful, to tell you the truth. I'm very happy about that. And let's see. So from all of this, it all then goes into the budget. And I just for the sake of seeing a lot less columns and numbers and stuff, I just opted to just look at, for the purpose of this meeting, opted to look at this for just the this year for year. Let's get rid of this, all my notes and whatever over here. So this number here, again, comes from those other two spreadsheets. So it just goes from one spreadsheet to another down to the budget. In fiscal year 23, we budgeted almost $3 billion. Sadly, we have not made those goals and have not received as much in payments. So again, I'm trying to adjust for that. This number that you see, 2,880,000, the reason that this is much higher or higher than you might think you might see is because, I have in for, fall of 24, because of the election year, I have put the fund drive completely in fiscal year 24, as opposed to this year where, oops, sorry. Make you guys dizzy. In this year, we have 12 days in fiscal year 23, four, 6 days in 24, plus the post drive in 24. So basically, we're, instead of splitting the fall drive, we're, I'm expecting to do it all in 24. Once again, this is a, number one, it's preliminary. Number two, it's a plan. Plans change. Things happen. You know, heaven forbid we were to get our old president back. That might increase our donations, believe it or not. Well, yeah, you would believe it because we would have a lot of stuff on the air about that. But, anyway, what we have done well at, is car donations. Here's car donations. You know, people getting rid of their old cars. We did not do as well in the crafts fair as we have in previous years. Previous years, we have all had always averaged about $25,000 a year. This last year was really, I was very excited of where the fund drive was, but apparently not everybody else, because for me, it's 10 minutes down the road. But if people were not happy about it, I wasn't happy about the $15 parking fee and all of that. From what I understand, that's not going to happen at the Alameda Fairgrounds any longer. So we got all of $8,000 for the craft fair. So once again, I'm not going to budget on a wish of having the $25,000 come back. I'm going to budget based on what we actually got. Miscellaneous, is we have a couple of dishes on the tower that belong to others that pay us a small amount of rent. And that makes us $30,000 this year. Our engineers have basically gone through the closets and cleaned out a bunch of stuff. We actually got somebody who paid us $26,000 for old equipment that was no longer even on the books. So that's why in this year we actually came up with $52,000 in miscellaneous income. Get rid of these yellows. This interest income. This is from the Heath bequest. For those of you who don't know or need a refresher on that, in 2008, a family by the name of Heath had left KPFA and Pacifica $375,000 each. But the rule was that we could not use that $375,000. We had to invest the money and use the interest or the gains on it. Pacifica, unfortunately, used it right away. I mean, within a month, it was gone, against the wishes of the person. our 375, I'm sure a lot of you remember, there was a check in a drawer that sat there for a long time because our then GM was afraid that Pacifica, if we put it in the bank, that Pacifica would take the money. Well, it came back to not be such a good thing because the attorney for that bequest was very upset that that money was had not been deposited yet. So that money ended up at the San Francisco Foundation. It is now worth about $600,000. Let me tell you, it's in the audit. It's in the financials, in a balance sheet. That's an asset. It's an asset that we cannot touch. Let me repeat that. We cannot touch. Pacifica cannot touch that. And what we get, KPFA gets, is all of 22, well, we get interest, and it keeps going up. A couple of years ago, it was 18,000, then 20,000, this year 22,000. So I'm anticipating we're going to get 24,000. So the whole point is that, that on interest income, we probably, and by the way, there is a line item here. It's unrealized. At the end of the year during the audit, we do include the unrealized gain on that money. It goes on the P&L, the profit loss, goes on the balance sheet as an increase to our assets, but it really means nothing because we can't touch it. It doesn't convert to money. Get rid of that. Corporate match, that is, again, I have to deal with Pacifica on that because the money is actually going into their bank account, but part of it is ours. And this 1350 is very small because that's what we get. Small companies will have corporate matches and they send the checks directly to us. This corporate match situation, it goes through like a clearinghouse called Benevity. And because of some situations that happened a few years ago, the money goes directly to Pacifica. Pacifica is supposed to dole it out, but so far that hasn't happened. But one good thing is, good thing or bad thing, we have had a big uptick on major donors. The problem with major donors is that problem with major donors is sadly those come from bequests. There's no way I could plan for someone dying. You know, people send us documents all the time saying that we're in their will. We greatly appreciate it to this day. I just cannot believe that people actually leave a radio station in their bequest. I appreciate it greatly. But to me, it's still an astonishment. But we did receive a major chunk, in this last year. I'm not budgeting based on that again because, we don't know. We don't know that, what's going to happen. There's also, I call them minor donors, is anything under $1,000. How you differentiate with these is that people will send, they've already paid their pledges. There's nothing outstanding for what they owe, but then they send in $500, $1,000, and just say, here, just because we love you. And so if these listener support is all on what I call solicited, meaning we ask for it, we go on air, we send letters, any of that kind of stuff. So donor advised funds, that all goes into listener support. But the major donors and so on, those are unsolicited. People giving because they left us money in their wills or they just love us so much. Let's see. So... back up here. I have a very, let me see. Try to make this so people can see it easier. Is that readable? Is that readable, Sharon? Okay. Perfect. Thank you. This is a summary of the expenses, personnel, board expenses, administration expenses, so on and so forth. The details are down below. You can see that we have gone down because we did do layoffs. I had anticipated this is based on, again, on actual. And so we are personnel expenses, our salary expenses, and tax expenses, so on, went down. So going based on that. Here's central services. This is how much money we pay to Pacifica for, we pay it's 34,666 for Pacifica and 4,622 a month for PRA. And from what I understand, there's just two people who are paying, or two stations that are paying PRA. I do anticipate a plan. It's not for sure. It could be more. It could be less. It could be a loss. Right now I've got it at, almost $11,000. Our salaries expenses, like I said, went down. Our employer taxes went up probably because we paid severance, last year. We have the pension and so on and the health benefits. Once again, I do not know, there are a lot of unknowns this year, and there's health benefits has always been an unknown in the 15 years I've been with KPFA. We actually one year had benefits go down, not very much, but it was like instead of going up, it went down a couple of percentage points, which was wonderful. But I budget based on a 10%. So let's see, I'm sorry. And then the board expenses, I don't know what our election expenses are going to be, so I estimated at 20. Again, the details are down below. We have had a legal issue that we will be having to finish paying here in the next month, or 2 months, I guess. And so that is in this budget. Insurance, I do not know this right here, this $15,000 that I'm showing here, that's only for our earthquake insurance. As a lot of you know, and I'll let Sharon talk more about this, Pacifica no longer has insurance. We don't have liability insurance. We don't have fire insurance. We don't have earthquake insurance. Even though we used to pay our own insurance, earthquake insurance, they canceled us because we were under the umbrella of Pacifica. I'm trying to get insurance for just KPFA, but, it's an uphill battle because, people don't want to give insurance to someone who is not paying their insurance somewhere else. I think, I'll turn it over to Sharon, see if she has any additions here.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, thanks, Maria. Yeah, that was very, very helpful. I actually really appreciated the input on how the, the income is, the figures are generated for the income that's put into the budget. And of course, we have the expenses and the detailed breakout of the expenses. So that's very good. I do actually want to leave time for people to ask comments and questions. So I want to just make this point for now, which is that part of this is a budget, as Maria did state, and a budget is a projection into the future. But one thing that this doesn't include is money that KPFA has actually paid to Pacifica. Because, you see, those aren't actually considered expenses. They're considered intra-company loans. And so they're not even reflected in this budget. And I just wanted to make that comment that, when you start talking actual numbers, when we have an expense that, Pacifica asks us to pay $300,000, because of defamation that occurs at WBAI, that comes out of our actual money, but it's not properly reflected in this budget because, as I said, it's an intercompany loan, not an expense. Anyway, I just wanted to make that point. I think we can open it up to questions. So yes,
Thank you, Sharon. I'll note that we're under half an hour still, so she gave her presentation in a very pithy manner. James McFadden has a question.
Oh wait, excuse me. I also just will be timing people for 2 minutes, just I think to be fair at this point so people know that it's happening. Okay.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Sharon. James McFadden?
Yes. Maria, thank you. I put in the comments, I think there's a typo in there on on line 29, you have $35,000 for actual board expenses, but on line 61, which is the same, I think, total of actual board expenses, it's $1,500, $1,500. Yeah. There's just a typo in there.
Okay.
And, but my question is about, on lines 71 and 72 of the budget, there was you budgeted for professional fees, legal fees, $1,500, and we actually spent $102,771. And I wonder if you can speak to what were those professional legal fees that we spent $100,000 on. And then for line 72, a legal settlement, you've budgeted $75,000 for the coming fiscal year for a legal settlement. Can you speak to that? I don't know why, because we haven't had
a point of order.
Thank you. State your point of order.
Yeah, because we are not in closed session, I do not believe it's appropriate for the LSB to be discussing legal matters of legal cases, which are still...
Thank you. Your point of order is well taken. We will not be discussing the legal matters in an open
session. All I'll say is, again, a budget is a plan, and this was unplanned.
Thank you.
And I did speak to it. I said that this would be taken care of in the next month to 3 months.
Thank you. I guess the next is Fred.
A couple of things. I just want to make a note that the crafts fair probably didn't do very well because, frankly, people are still responding to COVID. And I suspect, having seen the rest of the market, that our next craft fair will be more successful. I also would like Maria to tell us just the sum of the largest major donor who didn't die that came in.
We keep that. I mean, we have it in the database. I can't name names. And not having anticipated your question, I would have to.
Okay.
Yeah, go in.
I'd like to ask if the protests that have been held in front of the KPFA building might have had any impact on our subscriber base.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Do you think that people might pay attention to that? I don't know.
I definitely think people would pay attention to that.
Okay.
Central services at the PNB, we keep getting told that KPFA has not paid its central services, but you show that we have.
Well, okay, once again, if you look at any of the station's budgets, any of the station's budgets, including Pacifica's, it still is shown. It's shown as an expense. And so this isn't a profit. So, try not to get too deep into accounting, but there's, and I'll try to be very quick and easy. There's two different types of accounting. There's a cash basis accounting, and there's an accrual basis accounting.
I understand the difference.
You do? Well, thank you. And for those who don't, a cash basis means is that you literally expense it when you pay it. An accrual basis accounting is you put in everything that you anticipate you're going to have as an expense, regardless of whether you pay it or not. You will see even Pacifica will show central services as income for all five radio stations. However, they're not getting that money. So in my personal opinion is that the way Pacifica is, paycheck by paycheck or fund drive by fund drive or however it is that Pacifica is paid, we probably should be on a cash basis. With that said, my understanding is that there are radio stations that do not put any of their expenses in until they pay it. that's, in my opinion, a huge mistake because you don't, the network doesn't know what the expenses are. We put in our bills as soon as they cross our desks. Most of them come through email these days. And if it's a July expense, but we don't pay it until September, it goes in July. And then what you get is what's called an aging. We know how much money we owe. We know how much money, to budget for in terms of cash flow, which is a whole different thing than a budget. A budget's a plan. A cash flow says, I expect to get this much money in October. I expect that I'll be able to pay this much money in bills. However, if your bills exceed your cash, then you put that into November. You put it into December. That's where I personally think that Pacifica and the radio stations should be looking at, not the budget. Budget's a plan. Cash flow is real.
Regarding that accruals, do you have a number on what the network owes Pacifica?
Fred, that's time. I'm sorry.
I didn't actually get to speak for 2 minutes.
I spoke. But to answer your question, that would be a question for somebody maybe on the PNB because I don't have that information. From what I understand, we're into the millions of dollars that Pacifica is owed by the other stations.
Thank you, Maria.
As a whole. As a whole.
Right. Philip?
So I'm trying to get to the bottom line, and I realize that this fiscal year is not over for another week. But can you tell us, given what is budgeted and what actually came in and what the expenses were and what the expenses actually were, did we run in the hole? Did we break even? Did we... surplus? I don't see the bottom line here. Where is the bottom line?
Here's the bottom line. It's right here in yellow. And this great big hole is because of that legal issue that I can't speak to. We spent, a fair amount of money on that so far. Do you see that? I see you squinting there, Philip.
Well, I see in yellow, are you saying that, we are in the hole $83,000?
Basically, yeah. And with the luck of having had some reserves, and that's what reserves are for, right? Even on a personal basis, you keep money in case you have, a bad situation. You're a tree fell through your roof and you have to fix the roof. I don't know, whatever you might want to call it. But because of reserves, we have been able to maintain ourselves regardless of having extra expenses.
So tell me what the total budget is. The total expenses for the year were $3,541,000.
Are you asking about for 24 or for 23?
23, what we actually spent.
$3,541,000, yes.
Okay, and what we actually took in?
$3,558,000.
$3,458,000.
Yes.
So that's pretty close, but no cigar.
Well, yeah, it's $83,000 in the hole. And this is unaudited. So, there's still more work to be done, accounting wise. But the auditors come in and they do certain things. Okay. I don't know when that audit's going to happen.
Okay. But we have another week of income between September 30th.
Yes. Yes.
That week of income between now and next Saturday could wipe out the $83,000 there.
As they say, your lips to God's ears.
Given my relationship with God, I think that's a problem. But thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Donna. You're muted, Donna.
Yeah. My question. Is, maybe, whatever. So where in this budget is it planned for emergency funds so that when things come up like repairs, lawsuits, et cetera, where would that be?
So lawsuits, that's kind of an unplanned thing, right? I mean, when I first started my career with KPFA, my tenure with KPFA, we were unfortunately in the midst of a few lawsuits. Then they kind of went away. And I can't tell you. It's the same as not knowing how, if somebody's going to pass away and leave us money. It's not something I could predict. If I could, that'd be wonderful. I could try to, you know, eliminate that. I do have, what's expected for this budget. Where am I? Oh, right here. For professional fees and for settlement. Again, I hope that nobody's going to, sue KPFA or Pacifica again, but I can't predict that. I didn't predict the $300,000 that was taken from us back in November. I can't speak to the Pacifica Council, but I couldn't have predicted that, which is why we had to, you know, turn on a dime in the middle of the holidays and do a very ugly thing, but which was to have to lay people off. I talked to people, to our engineers and so on, and this is where, I mean, we don't anticipate anything huge coming down the pike. We do have to paint the tower. I have money in reserves for that. We've been saving for that. It's a $36,000 item. So at the moment, no, I don't have it in the budget, and that is because the money is already in the bank for that. And, okay. and that's an FCC and FAA regulation. We have to paint the tower.
Fine.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Elizabeth?
Yes, I have several questions. I noticed that on line 79, there was 8,000 budgeted, but no actual. Was the property tax not paid? That was one question. Uh-huh. The other one is line 29. What is considered a board expense? Line 30 is, why has the administrative expenses gone up by 20%? And again, the projected amount has increased again.
Okay, hold on.
No, I'll be putting it in the chat so you can keep track. Okay. But I'm not finished yet. Please let me ask all the questions I need to ask. Cause the other thing is there is no separation about the, in terms of the salaries. I think we've asked this before, or I have at least, where I'd like to know, how much is staff salaries? How much are contractors, and how much is management being paid in terms of the salaried income? And I don't quite understand the separation of the listener support at 2.8 million, whereas there is $600,000. So I'm sort of wondering how come that does not add up to the 2.8 million. Now there's, I'm not understanding that. So I'll put all those questions there, and you can start with whichever one you like.
Okay,
property
I'm
tax.
Sorry, I'm not looking at the chat because I'm looking at.
It's fine. I will look in the chat right now. I will put it in the chat
okay.
right now.
I think I've got most of them, but anyway. Okay, so to start with the property taxes, no, property taxes have not been paid. I still have not received the revised billing. As many of you know, where did I go with property? As many of you know, Pacifica changed their name multiple times, did not file any of the proper paperwork, nor did they have the, the amended Articles of Incorporation. They did not file the proper paperwork with the state. Way back when in 2013, 10 years ago, I went to do what we always have done, had done, is to file the exemption. And the exemption, I was denied the exemption because one of the questions on the form says, under penalty of perjury, have you, under penalty of perjury, you signed the whole document. And one of the questions was, did you change your name? I innocently and correctly and honestly said yes, at which time they denied our exemption. Our property taxes would have gone up 95-96%. We were paying $14,000 a year for property taxes. And the number was just, we would have had to have done layoffs just to pay our property taxes. And I asked multiple times, multiple CFO, well, a couple of CFOs, multiple executive directors. Sharon worked on this with me. Christina worked on this with me. Many people worked on this. And it took Pacifica and our money to legally change the name of Pacifica. Now, all of the documents are with the county, and they are revising the property tax bills for the last 10 years. And I have also been working with Henry Levy, he's the Alameda County property tax collector.
I'm sorry, that's time, Maria. I guess we're giving 2 minutes for answers. I'm not sure what we're doing, but anyway, it's
thank you. Chris, you're next.
Okay. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
I guess the standard budgeting practice for you, just to encapsulate it, is take the previous year's revenues, and then if the previous year's revenues didn't match the prior year's revenue, you match the expenses to, in other words, if they declined, you match the expenses to the revenue to create a balanced budget. Is that approximately correct?
Well, I mean, you know, if I know that there's, such as the painting of the tower, I didn't put the painting of the tower in this, because, the budget as being a plan for 2024, we already planned for that previously, and the money is in the bank. So,
I'm just talking generally, not specifically with regard to any expense.
Right. And if the whole point of a budget and a plan is that if the money intake does not match what you expect to be output, then you have to make adjustments on your output, right?
How often do you do that?
I'm sorry?
That's my second question.
Oh, all the time. I mean, Okay. Yeah. People, my people, I say my people, I'm kind of the mom around there. They know they don't spend a penny without talking to me first. And I'm serious. They literally will say, hey, we need a vacuum. Can we buy it?
Okay.
I hope that answers you. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I go back to what Elizabeth said? I just want to make sure she's clear, on this 2.8 versus the 600,000.
I think we'll take the next question first.
Okay.
Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah. Thank you, Maria. I understand, and it's hard to calculate how much the donations have gone down because of people not wanting their money to go to Pacifica. And I know that's a huge issue, not wanting it to go to stations that are not paying, their expenses, and then there's emergencies. But the other part of that is a great concern to me is that we have prepaid the central service fees already for emergencies, and yet we don't get the normal services that would be provided if Pacifica had money to cover the Pacifica expenses, because I know that a number of the stations are not paying central service fees, plus Pacifica, the little bit of money that Pacifica has doesn't go for the kind of expenses. So could you talk a little bit about those services which are not being provided? I'm guessing like audits and also other like the insurance and those things, and how that is impacting your budget this year.
Right. So I've asked many, many times again in the last 15 years, what exactly, what services do we actually get? The answer is yes, insurance. So they are paying liability insurance, property insurance, fire insurance. We were paying earthquake insurance ourselves. And I'm guessing the reason was is because not everybody obviously is in California. So the two California stations were paying earthquake insurance separately. Workman's Comp, which is due now coming up at the end of this week or month, I guess, it renews October 1st. So because of that, I'm trying to find insurance for ourselves. That is something that Pacifica would have done. We'll be paying our own property insurance. I spoke to my husband's and my personal broker, insurance broker, and he's on vacation and he's trying to get us insurance even while he's on vacation because I've been on my knees. And I have no idea what that's going to cost us. None whatsoever. I've never owned a business. I don't know what kind of, we're going to need fire insurance. He's already told me chances are we're not going to get fire insurance for the tower, by the way, because it's up in the Oakland Hills. Anyway, audit, they're supposed to pay for the audit, the insurances, workman's comp, accounting, services, HR services, and so on. So, does that answer part of your question or hopefully?
What about the audits and what about the, okay, time. I get it. Okay.
Yeah, I did say audit. They're supposed to pay for the audit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Elizabeth, you want to take the next question that's most important to you? You're muted, Elizabeth.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes.
You're welcome.
I'd like to get a breakdown of the salaries and how many are staff, management, and consultants, and whether or not there's been any new hires and in what area. And because I understand there was also a website development, and I don't understand why website monies is not included in the revenue area. So
go ahead, Maria.
Website, it's an expense, not a revenue. We get money through our website, but that just goes into listener support. It doesn't. Oh, this item here, that's an old, that probably should even just come off. There's stuff on here that like capital campaign money and stuff. Sorry. This is an old, template. So we don't differentiate, in the income statement or the budget, what comes in through website. We just keep track of it internally just so we have it for our own purposes. But, I do have website expense down here. Trying to find it.
The most important for me is staff, management, and consulting information because the
consultants are here. We don't usually have consultants. As you can see, we didn't pay for anything this year, for consultants. That doesn't go into, state of California frowns upon, you having too many consultants. Actually, the IRS frowns upon you having too many consultants because then you're not paying employer taxes. So anytime we have, even if you work 10 hours in a whole year, we put them into our payroll. I have never been in the habit of giving anybody payroll information because it's not appropriate. It's a confidential item. I didn't anticipate your question, so I don't have the number that you're asking what staff.
Could you give me a ratio, just a regular ratio?
I mean, off the top, it would take me a little bit. I don't, my brain is not exactly a computer. So.
Thank you. Tom, next question, that would be Fred.
Point of order.
State your point.
Well, it's a timing point. So we have, we are at time for this item. I would suggest that we take, the last two questions and, wrap it up after that.
Thank you. Go ahead, Fred. Fred, you're muted.
I've already spoken once. I'd let Jim go before me.
James spoke also.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask my question. A couple of months ago at the PNB, I had a motion that passed that required that every station manager break out the revenues each program brought in against the expenses of premiums. And I would like it if we could see that, if that could be sent to all the members of the LSB, and especially to all the members of the PNB. We've been promised it, and I haven't seen it.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I've heard of it. So if that was...
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, if that was a requirement of the PNB, it hasn't trickled down to me at all. Not to my GM either, because he would have told me.
Thank you for confirming what I feared.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. James?
Maria, can you... give us an idea of the number of FTEs at KPFA during the summer, and is the same total assumed for the 2024 budget? And if there's a difference in the number of FTEs, does that mean we're laying people off or hiring people? Just can you?
Okay,
you don't have to name anybody, but just in general.
Again, I mean, if I had that question ahead of time, I would have been able to make the calculations for you. All I could tell you is that our, without speaking, for those who don't know, FTE means full-time equivalent. So if somebody works 20 hours a week, they're a 50% FTE, just to make that clear for people. As you can see, we've lowered our personnel costs. And, you can't, when it comes to programming, when it comes to management, again, my personal business-like experience is that you could cut yourself into an oblivion. I'm very proud of the work KPFA does, and it's because we have very talented people in their positions. We have some great things coming down the pike in terms of operations and websites and all of, I can't even speak to them all because I'm not in every meeting, but we have reduced our salaries expense. So, and then our health benefits, that is just going to go up because of the cost of living goes up. So, it is what it is.
Okay, thank you, Maria. We're at time here on this issue, as Carol noted. So do I have a motion to approve the budget?
Just a second. The
vote.
Okay.
Do yes. I have a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded.
Thank you. It's moved and seconded to approve the budget. So we'll now vote on that. So, Maria, would you take down the...
Of course.
Thank you. Just hard to see all who's here. So, James, could you take your hand down because we're going to vote now? Thank you. So, all those in favor of approving the budget,
raise your hand.
And EA, I'm going to have you help me here, please. I see.
I see 15.
Thanks, Fred. Okay, hands down, please. All those who are opposed?
Yeah, hands down.
Hands down. We'll get the hands down first.
Philip
Richard.
Is Donnie G. Donald Goldmacher? Because he should be marked present if he's...
Yes, he is.
Donald Goldmacher, will you say hello? Present?
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, Donald, he entered at about 11:30.
Some people's hands are still raised.
Okay, please, people's hands down, please.
Oh, this may be for people who are opposed.
Okay, people who are opposed to the budget.
Oh, in favor. Did you count in favor?
Yeah, okay. We counted in favor.
Those opposed,
raise your hands, please.
I see two.
Okay. 15 in the affirmative, 2 in the negative.
15 in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. Budget is passed. Is approved. We're going to be going to public comments, which is time-certain.
Can I just say thank you?
Thank you very much, Maria. Thank you for your time. And thank you for your budget workshops. They were really, that helped me understand a lot. So I appreciate it.
And on a little personal, Fred, I sent you an email. Can you please reply to it?
I can do that.
Thank you. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
To approve the minutes.
Is there any objection?
Is there any objection to approval of the minutes?
Without objection, the minutes are approved.
Which minutes?
Without objection, the minutes are passed. And now we will move to public comments because it's time certain and it will be 12:25, which is almost right here. Right now it is. So we'll move to public comments. So we will, be timing public comments. People who want to make public comments, please raise your hands to let us know so we can see who wants to do that.
Is there anyone? Okay.
Okay, just, I will be timing for two minutes each, just so people know up front.
Thank you. The first person I see is Stan. Stan W. Go ahead, Stan.
Yes. I just want to make a quick announcement. Tomorrow, September 24th, Sunday, from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Starry Pile Pub in Berkeley, 3101 Shattuck, there'll be an open candidates forum for any KPFA LSB's candidates. So it's organized by Rescue Pacifica. All candidates from KPFA Protectors or wherever are more than welcome to participate. It'll be from 2 to 4 tomorrow at the Starry Pile Pub, 3101 Shattuck Avenue. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. The next hand I see up is Carlos Cohen. Carlos?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I think most of you have heard me before. I'm running for the KPFA LSB in the elections. I am endorsed by the KPFA Protectors. I have already mentioned before, I'm going to be very brief. I'm running out of a deep love for KPFA. I'm very concerned. Pacifica is in very, very serious financial problems. I don't want to list them, but if you go to kpfaprotectors.org, you're going to see a long list of financial problems that Pacifica has, including being in default on a $2 million loans, being behind on a $3 million loans, the buildings being at risk, failing audits for several years, not being able to pay even the insurances on the equipment, and the buildings and liability. We should not be operating without insurance, et cetera, et cetera. Most of the problems that I see on Pacifica have to do with money. So my proposal, my thinking, the solution I'm proposing is that all stations become more financially independent. That doesn't mean that Pacifica would cease to exist. We could commit, every station would commit to a certain percentage of revenue for Pacifica. Pacifica would continue, would coordinate programming, would share. We could do events together. We could share programs. But each station would control its own destiny from a financial point of view. I think it would be a much healthier relationship between us, or most of the problems would go away. And of course, we still have many differences. I hear some of the objections of the Rescue Pacifica people. I think they may be very valid. We may need to discuss issues. But if we
that
don't,
is time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Point of information, Chair.
Yes, Darlene.
This is a public broadcast.
Yes.
I'd like clarification if, candidate statements that are not opened or are not, we're not set up for all candidates, it is appropriate.
That's correct. And I believe what he has proposed for the last three meetings, in his public comments. So we'll review that later, but there is no new information proposed by him, but he is a candidate, but he did not propose anything that is new information that he hasn't proposed at the last three meetings during his public comments. Just state that. But thank you, Darlene. You're correct. Steve Wolf?
Point of order.
Thank you. What, state your point.
Mike, I want to uphold the ruling of the chair to allow candidates to speak. Any candidate can take time during public comments to speak. As long as they are following our rules.
Right.
As long as they are following our rules, we advise everyone to read the rules before they speak.
And we did that at our last meeting as well. That's correct. So he just said he's a candidate, but as I said, there was nothing new in there. So I recognize Steve Zeltzer next.
Yeah, well, I'm a little, I'm a candidate as well, and I have a real problem with the election. KPFK and WBAI have candidate carts on the air. The management of KPFA refused to put candidate carts on the air. There's only been one panel of candidates, and that's not even being publicized. So the listeners have a right at KPFA to listen to the candidates as they are at some other stations. Instead, they're being blocked. And I noticed that the protectors haven't called any town hall meetings open to people to discuss and debate the issues, which I consider an effort to suppress debate and discussion, because we need more town hall meetings, and that's one of the ways of doing it. I also have to say that the $300,000 that was taken out of KPFA, part of the reason for that is some of the management of KPFA voluntarily supported the arbitration of Bernili, the former executive director. I find that questionable, why a staff member of KPFA...
Jackson, misstatement of fact. Point of order.
I have a right to speak about what's going on at KPFA. And part of the problem is a staff member of KPFA, I'm not naming it...
State your point of order, Steve.
And that
could also get your full time, Steve, but we have a point of order here. State your point of order, Sharon.
That cost the station $300,000. So I think we've got to be honest about what's going on.
I'm asking you to wait for her to state her point of order.
You're not supposed to interrupt public comment.
I'm not finished with my 2 minutes.
I have a point of order. I'm allowed to make that.
You know what?
No, you can't. I got the two minutes. This is not a point of order.
State your point of order.
The right of listening.
Thank you. My point of order is that our rules do not allow people to make misstatements of fact, and it is a misstatement of fact that the...
That's a matter of opinion.
...was involved in the arbitration.
That's a matter of opinion.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Mr. Zeltzer has continued to interrupt and not allow the chair... Do you have direction for...
Your point of order is well taken.
We'll rule on her point of order.
We have rules that we try to have enforced in this meeting so that we don't have chaos and pandemonium here. And we want attribution of facts is one of our...
There is a fact.
...order. So your point is well taken, Sharon. We will not have allegations made that are unsupportable by fact about KPFA management, and that is exactly what Sharon's point of order was. So we'll move on to Steve now.
So the other issue that is happening is...
Wait, which Steve?
We're going to move, because you violated our rules, Mr. Zeltzer, we're moving on to Steve now, and we're going to...
I'm not finished with my...
The other Steve.
His name is Steve.
The other Steve.
Steve Free Tibet.
Pardon?
Steve Free Tibet.
Can you hear me?
Steve Free Tibet. Yes, we can, Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. One of our sister stations has on their agenda a staff recognition, and I wouldn't mind if KPFA could do that, because the staff's been working really hard under difficult circumstances. I think we should recognize them. Today we saw the business manager, I guess, Maria. I thought did a great job. So anyway, I'm just calling to ask that staff recognition be included in the meetings. Thank you.
Great idea.
Well, thank you for that, Steve. Do you have any more public comment that you want to make, Steve?
He's no longer on his phone.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, seeing as I see no other hands up now, we're going to move on to the PNB reports.
I think Steve has his hand up. If we have
Steve
time.
Steve Geltzer violated our rules.
Oh.
And I called him out of order.
And unmuted.
Okay. And exactly. So we're moving on to PNB reports because
democracy
I see no other hands
work.
Up for public comment.
Democracy at work.
So go ahead. The next report for public comment would be not public comment for we're moving on to the PNB reports and I will call on Sharon Adams. Do you have a PNB report, Sharon?
Yes, from the National. Yes, thank you, Christina. I have a report from the National Finance Committee and since our last meeting, I just wanted to say that the National Finance Committee did receive the consolidated financials for Pacifica. And has reviewed and approved them through May 30th of 2023. So that's great news because, you know, we had a backlog on that. But I just have to say when I was writing up my report this morning, I was like, why even talk about the numbers? It's just red. Okay. There's just a massive amount of bills owed by the other stations and the national office. KPFA as usual does not have any significant, outstanding aged payables. But the aged payables for the rest of Pacifica total over $2 million or approximately, I get different numbers. This $2 million figure does not include attorney's fees charged by Pacifica's general counsel to Pacifica. This number has been reported as $350,000, but we have no actual information on that because the general counsel apparently has not provided any invoices to Pacifica for, what, months, perhaps a year. So we have no idea what is actually owed, or what, let me just say what the general counsel believes Pacifica owes him. That is the correct way to say that. As was previously mentioned, the insurance as of August, Pacifica's insurance providers all canceled Pacifica's insurance due to failure to pay. This includes property liability, earthquake errors, and omissions. It's that simple. Don't pay, don't get the insurance. One of the unpaid bills is the interest due on the $2 million that was borrowed from the government through the EIDL, the EIDL program. Pacifica borrowed $2 million. That's on top of the $2 million Paycheck Protection Plan, but this $2 million was not forgiven. It was not forgivable, so interest has to be paid, and of course, interest was not paid. So the loan was used at the time to pay basic operating expenses of Pacifica. That's what it was used for, so it was entirely foreseeable that taking out a loan to pay basic operating expenses would not be possible to repay that loan when the loan came due, and that's exactly what happened. So the interest payments were not made on the $2 million loan, and that loan is secured by the KPFA building, and that loan is now in default, technically in default. Also the FJC loan, whatever amount that was, it was originally $3.2 million for the transmitter issue at WBAI, and the settlement was reached to pay that three, and then the money was taken out from what's called the FJC loan. Well, that interest payments have not been made. I think at least two quarters have not been paid, so that loan is technically in default also. And I did a little calculation on this one today because Pacifica was paying the interest on that loan at $50,000 a quarter, which adds up to $200,000 per year. So Pacifica did pay something like $800,000 or some number like that towards actually paying down on this loan, but now it's in default. So, and pretty much the entire amount is still owed. So I just had to say that now we see the outcome of the majority decision by the PNB. At that time, we were told over and over that the FJC loan was the way forward and that all other options were just not possible or were sort of attempts to destroy Pacifica. That was what was alleged at the time. But now we see that the FJC loan is actually bringing Pacifica into grave financial ruin. I just want to mention the bank reconciliation. That's my last topic here. Maria did talk about how the fact that other stations are like getting bills in, but they're not recording them as expenses. That's improper accounting and it makes it very difficult. So the executive director and Markeisha are, who's doing our business manager for Pacific, I don't know what her title is, but she's doing the finances for Pacifica. Basically, they get these bills that they come out of nowhere. They don't even know they've been recorded. And then all of a sudden, an expense appears out of nowhere that's been paid and that the management of Pacifica didn't even know was that. And on that point, for example, the executive director has been looking into some expenses at WBAI. They do have it was interesting to have the question on consultants here at KPFA, which was put at about less than $5,000 or maybe even zero this year, because at WBAI, they have a massive amount of payment for consultants. And when the executive director looked into that, what she found was that some consultants are getting paid every, you know, bi-monthly, and there's no hours provided, and there's no statement of what work they do. And in fact, there's not even a contract that says what they're owed or what they should be doing or how many hours they are or what their money hourly payment is. So basically, it's all on a handshake, and these checks are going out bi-monthly, and that continues. So that concludes my report.
Thank you, Sharon. Appreciate that sobering report. And Fred, did you have a report to give to us?
Before I give a report, I want to correct a couple things that Sharon said. Last night, Arthur did put out a spreadsheet that showed he is owed about $160,000. And you need to understand that the FJC loan is in default, and so the interest rate has gone up to 18% per year, which is substantially more, and it's getting worse every second. So I just wanted to let those two pieces of information come out. WBAI is owes, according to the 2021 financial statement, over $8 million by now, since it's 2 years later. I suspect that number is closer to $9 million. Additionally, WBAI and WPFW are both, according to our NES, National Election Supervisor, unlikely to meet their required voting numbers by the end of this voting period, which will cost us rather substantially, because then they have to hold the election open for all the all the stations, and it runs around $3,500 a week, as I recall. As difficult as these LSB meetings are, they are so much easier and much more pleasant and better organized than the PNB meetings. And I want to thank Christina for running a show that actually works.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks for that. Okay. Darlene, do you have a report?
Yes, and I am relieved as I could possibly be that Sharon and Fred took on the reporting of the financial situation at Pacifica. I have run out of words to describe how bad it is. And the whole thing with the FJC loan is even worse legally than where Fred and Sharon mentioned, talked about financially. The PNB, this is an open meeting of the LSB. So we can only report back to you on open sessions, what has happened in open sessions of the National. The National has an open session, at almost every meeting, unless it is an emergency meeting, and declared a closed meeting. So everybody, and I don't know that all the people on the LSB, much less the candidates, even less perhaps of listeners, listen to those meetings to at least get some of what's going on, but they are open and you can hear it. Just letting you know, it is quite a burden to spend that many hours on such a regular basis on meetings, which often are completely unproductive. But such is the crisis that people, it's really telling in how the meetings run and people work with each other, the pressures that folks are under to save Pacifica. Okay, I can't, a lot is done in closed session, but in open session we could say, we need to save Pacifica at this moment. What we do talk in open session, and so I'm sorry if it's redundant for those who do listen, there was some hope that in the sale of the KPFK building that there were angels at work, angels in the mix to come up with money coming in around the KPFK building. Those angels have all turned out to not be able to come through. And so I just want to say, yes, the KPFK building is still for sale. It's still in the open market. There are bidders. There are interested parties. And the executive director and the realtor that was contracted work constantly on that, negotiating. It will mean that KPFK as a station and the archives as a unit of Pacifica will have to move if we are sell to a standard commercial buyer. All of the options with the angels buying the building and then sharing some part of it with us didn't come through. It was, they were not able to afford it. And then the last thing is the election. Many things come to the PMB as complaints or appeals about the election. And what we can say is, as is the bylaws, the election is run by the National Election Supervisor, period. We only have that person to appeal to. And because of the financial problems within Pacifica, we are not actually able to pay that election supervisor, and she is working at a greatly reduced rate, but that also means she's working at greatly reduced flexibility and extra efforts and extra people, all of that. So it's a tight and almost shaky situation, but it doesn't matter what you need. You want to complain about the station, the election, or want to be rescued from about the election or saved. We only have the National Election Supervisor in charge of that, an independent, nonpartisan professional who runs the election. And that's the way it was set up, in the bylaws. And that's the reason it's a bylaw stipulation. So I beg your pardon. Oh, but we are trying to raise through the LSBs and the PMB, that's 120 governance people in all of Pacifica, the five station boards, and then out of that, five station boards of 24 people, and then out of that, the PMB members, we have been trying to raise $14,000, $12,000 from the stations, and $2,000 additional from the PMB members who are also LSB members. There's an appeal. We're asking governance people to try in their fiduciary responsibilities at the LSB to raise $100 apiece. So you would think we would get $60,000 plus what the PNB members put in additionally, out of that drive of raising $100 each. Our last statement on that is we've raised $5,400 out of 120 governance people. So.
Thank you, Darlene. I'd like to give other, I'd like to ask if there are any other PNB reports.
Carol for the SAC.
Hey, can I?
There's a stack right now. Chris is next, then Fred, then Donald. Well, yeah. We'll go ahead with Chris first. Go ahead, Chris.
And I do have a P&B report.
Okay.
From the election committee.
James McFadden is also a P&B member.
I asked Elizabeth, you don't just get to speak out. I asked, are there any other P&B reports? And he did not speak up. I think he can, he's a grown man and can speak for himself.
I'm the person supposed to talk.
Thank you. So Chris, it's your turn. Seeing that I didn't have anybody raise their hand for any other P&B reports.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
The news about the real estate, sale in, Los Angeles is, I don't have the words to describe how heartbreaking that is. I was presuming that it would already be in escrow at this point of the summer. I guess officially fall now. Geez. Can I ask Darlene a question?
Go ahead.
Okay. Darlene, are there any, I know that there were three like tentative offers that were like, you know, don't get into specifics. I realize you can't, but, there were three offers that were kind of out there. I gather that all three of those have fallen through, but there's still additional interest. Is it in the same sort of price range that we were thinking about before? Or is that also shriveling up and creating even more problems for us?
It was in closed session about what the current bid is for the building. There is one live bid. We do have an upcoming deadline of, you know, accept the bid or not. So we should have an answer by the end of next week, whether the building has found its buyer, and it is yet more difficult news for Pacifica.
Okay.
Thank you, Dana.
That's all I need to hear. Thanks. I'm like I say, I'm really, yeah, I don't have words for it. So thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Donald? Donald, you're muted.
There we are. I know. I'm aware of it. I'm unmuting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So, Darlene, what is Pacifica going to do exactly about not having insurance and having been, thrown on under the bus by the insurance brokers who have covered Pacifica? And how do we legally operate without insurance is my second question.
Sale of the building.
Well, I can answer that as well.
Go ahead, Fred.
And my hand will probably go down because that's what happens every time I talk, but I do want to be on the stack.
I'll keep you on the stack.
The attorney for our organization says that we are self-insured and that the insurance coverage that we have is got a $100,000 deductible and the insurance doesn't actually kick in till after $100,000. And so says that we are self-insured and that the situation is just like it's always been actually, except for we have to pay the first $100,000 before it goes anywhere else. So as long as you don't, you know, you don't get a judgment against you of over $100,000, it will be just like it was before. I'm going to actually respond to something Darlene said about the PNB. You know, we're going to have to move the KPFK building staff into a new location. We spent many, many hours on the PNB. In fact, the last time we dealt with this, it was actually for 2.5 hours, only to discover after we had made our recommendations that the WPFW staff had already sabotaged the deal and our entire 2.5 hours was wasted. Additionally, we have spent many, many hours on trying to get the National Election Supervisor to make exceptions for the rules that the National Election Supervisor makes and the decisions that the National Election Supervisor makes, and it just is really, really frustrating because no matter what we say, the ruling of the National Election Supervisor is final, and we just don't have we don't really have a voice in it other than to whine and mule about it. Lastly, I wanted to say that WBAI has 29 at my last count people running for the board, and yet they can't, they have not even gotten halfway to where they need to be to make it so that the election actually can go forward. WPFW is in a similar situation where they're very, very far short of it, and they have an overload of candidates running for the board. I think that the way we hold elections is problematic and leads to these sorts of problems.
Thank you, Fred. Mark?
Well, first off, my usual condolences to all of our PMB members. I was interested in what Sharon was saying about WBAIs and their contractors. The fact that WBAI is doing biweekly expenditures to contractors without contracts. And I want you to expand upon that. And also, I think you said that they're not clocking hours, so there's no invoices. Contractors without contracts is an innovation, I must say. But also more to the point, does the foundation know the total monthly expenditures of WBAI in light of this? And if not, why not?
Sharon, you want to respond to that?
Okay, yeah, I appreciate your comments, Mark, because, you know, it's quite shocking to have people that are basically being paid as employees. I mean, they're receiving a regular paycheck, but there's no, you know, they're allegedly classified as contractors, and there is no documentation on that. So, the only explanation is that for some reason, Pacifica management is incapable of looking at the finances at WBAI. I mean, this has been an ongoing problem for a very, very long time. And I don't know what the answer is. You know, the executive director is currently trying to get at this. And that is how they discovered this issue on the contractor issue. And what is because she went in and looked, and it's been going on for a long time. And as far as the expenses, I mean, that issue about paying expenses when they come in, but not accounting for them until they're paid, that has been a major problem because they don't show the expenses and they think they have money in their account. Even though the bill has come in, they haven't paid it, but they have money in their account, right? So then they pay some other bill without taking in accounting, literally accounting for the fact that they still have other bills they have to pay. And Markeisha and the executive director spend a lot of time, which time is money, helping, trying to resolve vendor issues, getting payment plans worked out because of all these unpaid invoices. I'm not sure if that answers all your questions.
I can address that too.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, Fred.
We're not allowed, because it's a human resources issue, to know who the unpaid contractors are, but they have all been terminated. And it turns out that through the scuttlebutt, I have not seen the contracts, but through scuttlebutt, the four of them had the same last name.
Fred, stop. Stop it. Stop.
Darlene,
that was a line too far.
Running the meeting.
Don't cross it.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I should have said, Christina, that's a line too far.
The point of order is what you say.
Okay, thank you.
State your point of order.
I'm less than a person with...
Call a parliamentary procedure here.
Okay.
Point of order is well taken. Did you want to finish something else, Fred, or?
I'm going to just leave it there.
Okay. Carol?
Yes. I wanted to say that the KPFA elections do have quorum, and also that in the context of the elections, the Pacifica National Board and the Election Committee passed motions regarding rules regarding slander and libel possibilities related to Rule 6. And I have a motion that the KPFA LSB Ethics Committee, Ethics Task Force, the KPFA LSB Ethics Task Force will review and make recommendations regarding fair campaign provision.
I have an objection.
Rule 6 involving possible slander and libel in the 2023 KPFA LSB election. Do I have a second?
I have an objection.
Do I have a second? Do I have a second for the motion that's proposed? And I would have to have you write it in the, do you have it written, Carol?
It's in the chat, yes.
Okay, it's in the chat. Okay, it's been motioned and second. Do we have discussion?
Ask her to read the motion again.
Could you read the motion again, Carol?
YPFA LSB Ethics Task Force will review and make recommendations regarding fair campaign provision complaints for Rule 6 involving possible slander and libel in the 2023 KPFA LSB election.
Thank you.
I second it.
Thank you. It's been seconded. Did you want to motivate your motion, Carol?
I don't want to take a lot of time. I think it's important for the Ethics Committee to look into things, particularly in relation to the fact that we do not have insurance at this time, and particularly slander and libel against staff or former staff or managers or board members is a serious concern.
Thank you. Any more discussion?
I object.
I have my hand.
I can't object. You're out of order. If you can speak against Elizabeth, but
that's what I mean.
No, you're out of order to object. Go ahead and speak.
James McFadden has his hand.
Okay, James, you go first.
All right. The problem I see with something like this is libel and slander really requires a court decision to be able to make something like this happen. So I don't understand exactly how somebody like a election person or who's going to make this determination, because those are really legal terms that are applied in a court of law. So I don't quite see what benefit we get from making a claim. It's like, you know, it's like making lots of claims that Pacifica and KPFA do, which don't go anywhere, don't really have a lot of any force. So I just see this as kind of a distraction.
Thank you. And the next person is Elizabeth.
I'm adding my complaint regarding what James McFadden mentioned, number one. Number two, I believe that the LSB Ethics Task Force that was formed last year is not functioning at this moment because it's a new year. So the actual task force that was created, the Ethics Task Force that was created, was overreached. They objectives was to be able to put under the gun any member of Pacifica, regardless of whether it was a KPFA member, LSB member or not. It was proven that the PMB, the actions that the Ethics Task Force took in putting a LSB member on trial was ultimately reversed by the PMB because passed a motion showing that there had not been any kind of violation regarding any of the stated mentions that the Ethics Task Force was accusing this LSB member of at the time. That LSB member was expelled without due process as well. And there was... This ethics committee should be the one to be put under an ethics committee, to tell you the truth. So this Rule 6 involving possible slander and libel, it's also incredibly, it's basically an attack during an election year of one of the candidates that is presenting, and it is exposing this, some LSB members and some staff members for, violating duty of loyalty.
Elizabeth. I'm going to put this to a vote because we're over our time already. I will note that in 2019, the election supervisor found a slate guilty of libel and slander and ruled against them based on those things. So it's a little bit disingenuous to say now she's saying she can't rule on that. And that's a change. So we're going to go ahead and take a vote. Everybody's hands down, please. Everybody's hands down for now because we're at voting. we're actually a few minutes over our time's certain end. So I'm going to ask everybody to take their hands down so we can vote, please. Everybody, Elizabeth, can you take your hand down? Thank you. Everybody in favor of the investigation of the Ethics Committee, it's not going to make any ruling, it's an investigation. All those in favor of the motion on the floor, please raise your hand. And EA, I'm going to ask that you help me note whose hands are up.
I'd like to ask for an actual roll call of the voice, actual roll call, please.
Okay. Carol, would you take roll call, please?
Zach, Lily, Don, you need, and Andrea, you need to lower your hands.
Lower your hands up. We're taking a roll call vote now.
Okay, Donna Carter?
Opposed.
Donna No. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Aki, yes. Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Andrea, yes. Brian Crowell? Brian is not here. Carol Wolfley, yes. Catherine Tiptalkin?
Yes.
Catherine, yes. Chris Corey?
Abstain.
Ms. Abstain. Christina Huggins?
Pass. Come back to me at the end.
Pass. Daniel Borgstrom?
Opposed.
Daniel No. Darlene Pagano?
Abstain.
Darlene abstain. Donald DeGoldmacher?
Yes.
Donald, yes. Frank Sterling? Welcome back. Fred Dodsworth?
Pass till later.
Fred, pass. Elizabeth Milos?
Oppose.
Elizabeth, no. James McFadden?
No.
James, no. Richard Walensky?
Abstain.
Richard, abstain. Lily Kimura?
Yes.
Lily, yes. Mark Van Landwit?
Abstain.
Mark, abstain. Zach Caldevere?
Yes.
Zach, yes. Philip Muldari? Philip, no answer. Tom Borges is not here. And Sharon Adams?
Abstain.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sharon.
Yes.
You're not voting. Okay. Okay, sorry.
I'm going to vote yes.
Fred, yes. Let's see, where are we, Fred?
And I'll vote yes as well, Christina.
Okay. And Christina votes yes.
And this is Frank Sterling. I don't know if I missed my name, but I'll vote no.
You did.
Okay, and Frank is voting no. Okay, let's see. EA, did you track that?
I have 9-5.
I have 9. I did track it. I have 9 yes, and I'll ask for anybody else who tracked it as to verify. I have 9 yes and 5 no and 5 abstentions.
Okay, so the motion passes.
Is I wanted to double check. Fred, did you track it too?
Does it need to be 2/3?
I did not track.
No, it doesn't need to be 2. And would you stop interrupting? You're not chairing the meeting.
No, the motion is adopted.
The motion is adopted. It is 9 yes, 5 no.
No, it's abstentions.
Okay. So the motion passes. I would like to say in closing out the meeting, because we're adjourned now, about to adjourn, that the whole reason that our meetings work a little bit better than others is most people are respectful and don't interrupt the chair. And if people, we pass a motion to make sure that the chair is respected and not interrupted. And that goes for people, public comments as well. So we have in our at the beginning of every meeting, I read our group agreements that were passed by motions for public speaking and for people in our local station board as well. And so if someone speaks over me and doesn't acknowledge I'm waiting for a point of order, then they are able to be removed if they repeatedly do it. And that was what happened today. So I wanted to clarify that. You do not speak over the chair. You recognize the chair when we have a point of order instead of talking over me while I'm trying to let the person speak. So anyway, thank you all for being here Saturday. I appreciate you giving up your time to this important thing. And you all have a good rest of your Saturday. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No objection.
Thanks. So no objection. We're adjourned.